Let's open your Bibles, Psalm chapter 77. Title of the message tonight, In the Day of Trouble. You'll see that from verse 2, in the day of trouble. I like a commentator. He said this. I don't usually name the commentators when I preach because I don't know if I agree with everything I say. But if I name commentators, sometimes you guys are like, I know this about him. And so I don't. The message of this psalm is that to brood on sorrow is to be broken and disheartened, while to see God is to sing on the darkest day. Once we come to know that our years are of his right hand, there is light everywhere. I liked it, but maybe it's too much when you hear it. The message of this psalm is that to brood on sorrow is to be broken and disheartened. You understand that, you know, just to focus on all the bad. While to see God is to sing on the darkest day. Once we come to know that our years are of his right hand, there is light everywhere. This is a psalm that's real, and I've historically been uncomfortable, but I'm getting more comfortable as the years go on. God's goodness allows men to be part of his eternal word where he lets their hearts be laid out. And because we've all felt this way. Let's read Psalm 77. About a column in my Bible. So hang in there. He said, I cried. It's a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was one of the musicians of David. It's interesting. I was reading just different commentaries, and this is to the chief musician. I don't think I've ever heard this before. I want to ask you guys if you heard this. Have you ever heard that some believe, and I thought it was interesting, some believe the chief musician is God? You ever hear that? I read several commentaries this week that said that. I'd never heard that before. Interesting. Who is the chief musician? It's God, right? So it's interesting, and aren't the Psalms to God? So unknown, but to the chief musician, maybe it is just to the Lord. But a psalm of Asaph and one of David's musicians. He said, so Asaph says this, under the inspiration of God, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night. He's basically saying my pain, my trouble just continued through the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Verse 4. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I couldn't sleep. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night when things were good. I commune with my own spirit. My spirit made diligent search. And then there's these three verses of question. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Verse 10. And I said, this is mine infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Verse 16. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Again, title of the message, In the Day of Trouble. In the Day of Trouble. Let's just look at a few things. I think Asaph, this psalmist, does some good things. Let's just look at the first one here. The first one, cry out to God. Look at this. He says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. When you have trouble, cry unto God. It's never wrong. I hope you never misunderstand, because I think at times we preachers can preach that says, you know what, don't wait for trouble to get right with God, get right with God. And I agree with that. But if you got trouble, look to God. It doesn't necessarily mean because of your sin, but when you got trouble, look to God. When you don't have trouble, look to God. And everywhere in between, look to God. Cry out to God. We need to be crying out to God, but you know what makes us cry out to God? Trouble. Trouble. Now look at this, verse 1. And he gave ear unto me. The Lord heard, and it didn't satisfy. If we were honest and I asked for a show of hands, how many of you have been there? I think most of us have. Maybe not the children. And maybe they have. Cry out to God and you don't, and you know he hears, but then it's like, what good did hearing do? And he heard me. See, the psalmist knew I cried out to God. I cried out to God with my voice, and he heard me. Nothing happened. Can be depressing. But I want you to know we've all been here. The Bible's real. Look what he says in verse 2. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. You know, cry out to God and seek the Lord. That's what this psalmist did. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore dried up and all my problems were fixed. Is that what he says? No. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. He cried out unto God. God heard him. In the day of his trouble, he sought the Lord. But nothing changed. Nothing changed. I love the Bible, because on days that this happens, I want to etch in my mind Psalm 77. We all like the number 7. Psalm 77. Psalm 77 is where I just need to go back and be reminded what Asaph went through and how God directed him. I want you to know this. You can seek the Lord and your soul may not be comforted. Continue to seek the Lord and I trust your soul will be comforted. But see, I preach it in a way that people have told me this, and this is why I preach differently. When I get input and it's like, that is not what I meant. I will never let anybody think I mean that ever again, right? And so I'll give you one example, right? Somebody went to Crossroads and they go, you know, Crossroads not nearly as bad as you talk about it. Okay. I'm going to talk about it differently. But I also think this, the way preachers talk about sin is like, you sin, yeah, oh man, I don't want to sin anymore. No. It may take 20 years and you'll be like, man, this is so good. Why do people sin? Because there's joy. There's enjoyment with that flesh. And so you don't get bit right away. Sometimes you don't even notice it. But I'm telling you this, it's real. Now I want you to know this. The way I preach it, I fear, is to say, abide in Christ, Steve. You abide in Christ, shazam. Your flesh will go, whatever you say, Steve. You're abiding in Christ. I am not messing with you. No. You better abide in Christ this hour. You better abide in Christ next hour. Let's finish Sunday well. And Monday gets here, you can have a great Sunday. Monday gets here and you're like, Sunday feels like 3 weeks ago. You know what? I'm just telling you this. What we need to do is we need to have discipline that says whether I see it or not, I know what God commands. I know what he wants. I know what will honor him. And I'm going to do it because my life is just a vapor. My life is just a shadow. And I want to do what's right and I want to honor the Lord. So I want to tell you this. You know what? Cry out to God. And I believe he'll hear you. Seek the Lord. The Bible says, if you seek me, you shall find me. I think you'll find him. But remember this. It doesn't always feel good. Your soul may not be comforted. Your soul may run, your sore may run through the night. It may not fix things. Man, that's not popular preaching, right? That's what this psalm is all about. And I believe this is one of the most encouraging messages I've preached in a long time. Just haven't gotten there yet. Because this is real. See, sometimes we preach God like he's the genie in the bottle. You do this and everything's perfect. So the world thinks we preach. Right? That's what they think. And so I don't necessarily want to say, you know what? You know, I tell people this. I tell people every time I get a non-believer with me, they will get this for me eventually. I'll say, I want you to understand this. Your life will be harder if you give your life to Jesus Christ. Your life will be more difficult. Better but harder. You can't understand what I'm saying there, but it will be. But your life will be different and it'll be more difficult. And you will suffer more if you truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. And so, but this isn't even dealing with that. He cries unto God. God hears him. He seeks the Lord and no comfort. I've said this before. Look at verse 3, 4, 5, 6. I remembered God. That is good. You should remember God in all things, but your trouble may remain. Look at verse 3. I remembered God and was troubled. You know why I think the psalmist could be troubled? I remembered God, and I remembered how powerful he is. And I had to accept this. I remembered God. And so what I remembered is, oh, God could fix this. And I'm troubled that he hasn't. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to honor Christ. And I'm telling you, I'm troubled when I remember God, how big he is. He's that big. I'm getting more comfortable with the Psalms. Hang in there with me. Don't get discouraged. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. I don't think that was right. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, it says in Philippians. But is that honest? How many of you have ever complained? Those who didn't raise your hand, you liar. You know, all of a sudden pants are on fire, right, all over the congregation, right? We complain. I'm just a little kid. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Did you guys know that statement? Is that still around? Did you not know it? Did you know it? Liar, liar, pants on fire? It survived the decades. I'm happy. But it's, we've all complained. You know what will happen if you don't praise God? You will become a complainer. There's no neutrality in life. There's no neutrality with God. You will either praise him or you'll be complaining. Now, you may not direct your complaint to God, but when you're complaining, it's against God. You will either praise or you'll complain. I love the honesty here. He said, I remembered God and was troubled, and I complained. And my spirit was overwhelmed. Your spirit can be overwhelmed. Ask crazy questions in your head. Spirit overwhelmed. Like, when did I read this is what Christianity is? That's why I love the Psalms. Aren't the Psalms good? About time. What a great book that God says, I'm going to let the heart of men be seen, the heart of men that love me, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little remedy. But he doesn't say at the end of the chapter, and your sore will not run through the night. He doesn't say that. Look at verse 3. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I've never struggled sleeping. The only time in my life I struggled sleeping was when I was contemplating whether God wanted me to preach or not. You're like, bummer, I wish you'd have slept longer. But it's the only time in my life I couldn't sleep. And so I wouldn't tell anybody. I think I've told you this. I didn't tell Deb about it. Just because, you know, I thought I was going nuts, you know. I thought, well, you know, you're just making this stuff up. And so people would ask me, you know, are you okay? And I'd bite their head off. I'd say, I am. I'm wondering if God wants me to preach, so shut up and leave me alone. And so, no, I didn't say it, but I was so tired. I was just tired. I was wore out. And couldn't sleep. Let me tell you, if you can't sleep, it's rough. I knew that, I don't know, are you struggling to sleep again? No, you wouldn't tell me that, would you? I pray for you, because I know what sleep means. And it hits his back, but then God gave him victory, and now it came back, and you're wondering, what's God doing, right? You know? Sleep's a big deal. Your sleep's taken with you. Try to make it eternal, but and you do that for 2 years, and then you're like, what do I do now? Thou holdest mine eyes waking, because God could give you sleep, and you said he hasn't. I am so troubled that I can't even speak. Remember those words, because God's got a remedy for it. So troubled you don't even want to talk to anybody. You don't want to talk to anybody about it. You're just done. You're tired of it. I'm telling you, this is so good. This is modern day Christianity, when things don't go the way we want. Isn't it good that God gives us somebody that you can relate to, that I can relate to? I've not had that much trouble. I've not had that much trouble. And then I know this. Look, you guys have done this. Look at verse 5. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I'm going to reflect. Nothing. Go to the Old Testament. You're like, read the Red Sea part, which talks about this in Psalm 77. And then you say, I'm going to try to remember in verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night when things were good. Just singing. Just enjoying the Lord. I got a song in the night. La, 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 you know. I'm communing with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search, because I'm like, surely I will get some joy, some satisfaction in the way it used to be. Can I remember? Can I remember when things were different? I'm going to remember. Nothing. That's rough. I've never had it. And so I do mourn in my heart for people where this is reality. You ask these questions in verse 7, 8, 9, and I just ask you this, has God changed? That's what really Asaph is asking. Look at this. Look at verse 7. You know, I want you to understand this. So these questions sound like a lost guy, right? And when you're discouraged, you'll wonder if you're saved. Mm-hmm. And the questions that cross your mind, you'll think, how can a Christian ever ask this question, right? No. Asaph is a believer in Jesus Christ and the Messiah. And I'll tell you this. Look at this. Every one of these will the Lord cast off forever. In fact, no, Asaph. So, good thing I wasn't there. You know, I love the word for comforter, paraclete, come alongside. I don't think I'll ever be called a paraclete. You know, that's translated comforter. I'd be like, hey, dude. God will not cast off forever, because he doesn't cast off ever. Dummy. But you feel like he's cast you off, right? And you feel like, how can a Christian ask that question? I get it. I've asked questions like this, but I'm a baby. I've not had difficulty. Will the Lord cast off forever? No, he will never cast off his children. You understand that? But it sure does feel like it, right? Look at verse 7. And will he be favorable no more? Will his grace? Because for God to be favorable, it never is because we deserve it, right? It has to always be grace. Grace is unmerited favor, right? Always grace. What a song, right? His mercy and grace go on forever. Because look at this. Look at verse 8. Old Asaph needed that song tonight. Too bad he wasn't inspired of God to write it. Is his mercy clean gone forever? No, his mercy endures forever, the Bible says. You know, I wonder, I didn't look this up tonight. It'd be so cool if it's in one of Asaph's psalms. His mercy endureth forever. Don't you dare look it up now, later. You Google people. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? His promise never fails. But I will tell you this. It doesn't help to know it here, does it? I'm not preaching intellectual knowledge of God. I'm talking in the heart. You know, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I ask God all the time, oh God, I got it here. Take it down here. That's what'll make the difference. You understand this? So I'm not just talking about knowledge. Knowledge, what we want is, you can't get it in your heart until you get it in your ears and your eyes and your head. And then it needs to get to the heart. See, I think he knows this. Does his promise fail forevermore? No, his promise never fails. Verse 9, hath God forgotten to be gracious? No, the only thing God has forgotten is our sin. Isn't that amazing that God can forget our sin? I don't even understand that. I love the things I can't understand, right? Because God's not like us. How can the all-knowing God forget anything? That's a good question. It ain't going to be my top 1 million, but it'll be up there in the top 10 million. He's going to preach that. And I think we're going to understand it. Maybe. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I love this last part, because this is where we go. He must be mad at me. That's it. The reason why this is not going away is God's mad at me. How many of you been there? And you think he's mad at me. God's mad at me. See, I think we misunderstand God and his love and his goodness and his mercy and his grace. What I love about this psalm is, man, it's pretty real, isn't it? I told you I've never preached this message. I couldn't come up with this message. One, because I haven't had the struggles that many of God's people have. And those are things that make me question. God says I will suffer. God says I'll be persecuted. And I'm not. And I'm bothered by it. But this is so real. Now let's turn. Okay, maybe you don't have to turn. I do. Verse 10. Verse 10 is the key to this passage. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. First, it's acceptance. It's just to say this. Okay, God, maybe my sore will run through the night. Maybe this is not going to be taken away. This is my infirmity. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. And you all know two verses in Philippians chapter 4 that are super famous. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The purpose of my turning us there is where Paul says that in whatsoever state I am, I'll be there with to be content, right? But I want us to go back to verse 10. And I want to tell you, I think Philippians 4:10-13, I usually refer to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, right? Paul's thorn in the flesh. But I think this one is just as good and really good, and I just haven't referenced it enough. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Paul, under the inspiration of God, to the church at Philippi, who was super kind to him, he said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, thoughtful, loving, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That's why I initially went to this passage in my study. He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can be abased. I can suffer need. I can abound. I can have success, but I can't do it without Christ. But with Christ, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I refer to 2 Corinthians 12 so often, but when Paul finally understood that it was God's purpose to have that thorn in the flesh, because Christ was exalted, that in his weakness that God would be strong, he says, I rejoice in infirmities. Turn back to Psalm 77. And again, what I want to tell you is, this isn't the happily ever after chapter. This isn't to say, fixed. Go have a wonderful day. This still is what we must do when the trouble doesn't go. There needs to be a point, and God still may take it away. You know what I love? I love when God answers prayers that I totally forgot about. You guys ever experienced that? And it's like, I'm telling you, when I was down for the wedding of my son, and these young men came up to me, and they were, I said, "How'd you meet Josh?" And I told you this before, and wasn't an audible voice, but in the back of my head, it was the Lord going, "I'm amazing, aren't I?" And you know, I mean, I almost just started crying in front of this one guy. I'm not a crier. And I grabbed him and I said, "You are an answer to prayer." He's like, because I hadn't given God glory, hadn't given God credit, and I hadn't prayed about it for quite a while. And God said, "I heard your prayer and you had no idea what I was doing. I'm way better than you think." That's why I say that statement. It's the day it started. Way better than I think. So you know, you may have prayed for these ailments, and you know, if you still feel burdened, you keep praying for them. But I know Luke 18, when we get there is something about nagging God about some things that he says, "I will hear you." So if you can't stop praying, you keep praying. But I also don't want to make you think that if you stop praying, he hadn't heard you. Just be comfortable with God. Get to the point where you say, "Okay, God, this is my infirmity." Doesn't make it easy, does it? I want you to look then what he says, and this is my last point with three subpoints. Fewer subpoints than I could have had. Just giving you a break. Verse 10, and he said, "This is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." I worded it this way. You can study it and see if you agree. So there was a remembering early on. But I don't think it was remembering a God apart from ourselves, right? Because we're also so egocentric, we're so focused on ourselves, and it's something we have to fight. The Lord understands that. Why he tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, because we are going to love ourselves. Remembering God apart from ourselves, you see, because if we have to remember God and we're going through this horrible infirmity, this great trial, this great struggle that doesn't appear like it's ever going away, right? Then you try to remember God in all of your struggles, then you're going to remain discouraged in many cases. But I'm convinced that what Asaph does is he remembers God apart from himself. Look at verse 11. And I love this. It's my first subpoint. Remember God's works. He says, "I will remember thy works, the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." And the reason I bring this up is because Jesus mentioned this. He says, "If you don't believe me for my words' sake, believe me for my works' sake." I'll tell you, we would do well just rehearsing the works of God apart from ourselves. I think there is a great place, and I am going to start documenting it because I just want to document everything, the goodness of God. And but remember the works of God apart from yourself. They are glorious. Jesus says, if you can't, because you know this, I've preached long enough. Sometimes this ain't enough. That's so terrible to say. It is enough, but it's not enough. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? This is enough, but sometimes it doesn't do what we think it's supposed to do. You know, we're like, didn't happen. Let me plug in differently. Right? Don't treat the Bible as a magic wand. It is powerful. It is glorious. But I will tell you what we would do well. Remember the works of God. Remember the works of God. Look at verse 12. He says, "I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." Meditate and talk of God's works. Now go back. I told you I was going to highlight this. Your trouble so bad you struggle talking. You don't want to talk to anybody. You just want to hide and I, you know, I'm telling you this. It is here's what he says. I just tell you this. Meditate also of the work of God and talk of God's doings. Jesus does this all the time. What he does with people is he gets them to confess him. He gets people to talk about him. It is therapeutic, and the Bible talks about it all the time. Again, don't treat it like a magic wand, but I will tell you, what will hurt you is not speaking of the Savior. What will help you is speaking of the Savior. You say, I'm not around people. Go to the stinking gas station just to talk to somebody. Say, I don't like soda. Get a water. They'll charge you for it. No free water anymore. And go to that counter and say, has anyone told you what is necessary for eternal life? And if they say, no, I want to tell you this. There's a God in heaven, and he is a great God. I'm not a good person, but he's a great God. And he loves me, and he loves you. And he sent his son, and you've heard his name, and his name is Jesus. Talked to a young lady at Thornton's. I asked her if I'd given her a track, and she said I had. I said, well, what'd you think about it? She said, I don't quite remember it. And I said, well, let me help you. And I said, I know this. You look at me like, well, you know, everything's going okay. I said, I want you to understand this. You need to read the Bible. Don't trust some stranger just coming to Thornton's. I said, read the Bible. I told her to start in the book of John. I'm just telling you, you help me with this. Because I know you guys think, oh, Steve's always talking. I am. But I prefer not to talk a lot. I know. I do. I just like to go in my corner and just sit there sometimes and just... Yesterday was a rough day for me. I know. I was just like, I don't want to be around anybody. I was even struggling when they were here for lunch. I went up to my office, just sat in my office. Terrible. My wife, I love my wife, man. She's mingling with them. I'm like, I loved it. She's just mingling with them, and I'm like, I don't know. But I know this. You're discouraged? Remember God's works. Meditate on his works and talk about them. God's just not saying that just because it'll help you. And it's the last thing you want to do. And you know this, I love the Lord. He's so good. Look at verse 13. His way is in the sanctuary. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? When you are going through this kind of trouble in Psalm 77, you know the last place you really want to go? You don't want to go around people. And I know this. When you're saved, you do want to go around people. But when you're saved and you're going through this trouble, you don't want to go around people, right? You're like, I don't want to go around people because you know what? They're going to ask me how I'm doing. And I don't want to tell them. You know, tell me. Say, don't ever ask me again. I say, oh, I won't. I don't know. Be nice. I mean, be nicer than I would be, you know. But it's like, but I want to tell you this. Look at this in verse 13, and then I'm going to move on. I'm going to move. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You know, when Asaph wrote this, he had no clue about the Lord's churches. God did. Oh, do you think his way is not in the sanctuary today? Isn't it interesting? What do we call this auditorium? The sanctuary. His way is in the sanctuary. You see, there's not a resolution of the problem in Psalm 77. But what it needs to do is get our hearts on the great and the good God. And the reason I love that song, let me see what that song says. I like the words there. Let's see if I can. You said, the Bible's good enough, Steve. Stop turning the songs. It's sufficient for today, right? It is... Where's the words I'm looking for? Oh, he goes, doesn't it say his grace is sufficient for the day somewhere? That's what it's about. It doesn't have those words like that? Tell me, Stephen. What are the words? Oh, I'll be standing in your favor, your mercy and your grace, because they go on forever. They still go on forever. They'll still go on forever. All glory to your name. You see, it's sufficient for the day, right? Sorry. It's sufficient for today. You see, and then you wake up tomorrow and you're like, problem's still there. Let His grace and mercy be sufficient for the day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. The Bible talks about that. Let His grace and mercy be sufficient for the day. And if we are hurting you, I mean this, if we are hurting you, if I'm hurting you, you tell me. Say, you get on my nerves. I'll be like, whoa, man, you're the first person I've ever gotten on their nerves. You say, you're getting on my nerves. I promise you this. I don't know what you think about me. I do care. I will do everything I can not to do what gets on your nerves. You tell me, and I won't say it. I can eliminate phrases. I can eliminate whatever it is, except for the Bible. And you're not going to ask me to eliminate something from the Bible. We want you to delight in this. We want you to be able to endure your suffering. And I'm telling you this, every single one of us are going to go through that journey. I'm not talking about one person, two people, five people, 10 people. I'm talking about every single one of us. This is a truth we better burn in our heart. You know, I remember what I did this wood project as a kid. What do you call it? Where you, not branding, but it's like wood burning. Is that what it's called? Wood burning. I thought of something more fancy than that. Just wood burning, right? Burn it on my heart that we would honor the Lord. Let's just finish. And He's going to talk about some wonders for Israel. Look at verse 14. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. It might be good for you to go back and read about the Red Sea. I like what Sean does. He goes back and reads about the resurrection, the greatest, most glorious, most powerful moment in all of human history. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. I'm telling you this, get a hold of salvation, get a hold of its wonders, get a hold of its glories, how good God is, because I think we're too blasé about salvation. It's the most amazing, most miraculous, most wonderful thing in all of history. And you know how I know we're not that in all of it? When I get to John 12 with many people in the Bible study, and it says, Jesus says, you'll do more wonderful works than I. And I go, what is that about? And they'll go, I don't know. And everybody's thinking of the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. We are involved in the gospel ministry, and I tell people this. Have more people been saved since Christ was on this earth during His public ministry? Oh, you better believe it. We are in the greatest work ever. What a work God has done. What a work God has done, and He uses us to be involved in that process. Is that amazing? I'm telling you this. It's cool that the blind might see, but that's not His objective spiritually, physically, but it is spiritually. We're involved in the greatest work of God. And when we think it's something else, we have forgotten the greatest work of God is that He could save a dead soul like mine. That's amazing. That's why grace is amazing. That's why it's so wonderful. But He talks about redeeming His people. Look at verse 16. The waters saw thee. Again, gives the waters a, you know, the Red Sea goes, Rigger, there's the Lord. He's coming over here. The waters saw thee. Oh God, the waters saw thee. Okay, you guys think it might just be something. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. When you're in the presence of God, you will tremble, and it's good. He said, the clouds poured out waters. The sky sent out sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The Bible doesn't describe this back with the parting of the Red Sea, but this looks like it's given us a little bit more description, because I think it continues what's going on in the Red Sea. I'm not trying to... I think some rain happened. I mean, I'm thinking when God, you know, brought the waters down on Pharaoh, I think a little thunder and lightning. A few wheels fell off. Because when God brought the walls down, there wasn't like, you know, 2.8 seconds to think about it. I think He gave him a little time, maybe a little lightning, a little thunder, a little rain, little wheels falling off. And then, it's amazing. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. God delivered Israel. And you know what the message is here? God will deliver me if it's only when I cross those shores into everlasting life. It's difficult. But what I love about the Bible doesn't say your sore will always be fixed, does it? It doesn't. It doesn't mean it's not going to be fixed. Do you understand that? It's just day by day, one day at a time. Trust the Lord. My wife, her favorite book of the Bible is the Psalms. It never was mine. It's still not. Because I haven't had trouble. It became her favorite book 36 years ago when I married her. But I will tell you this. You can find your situation in the Psalms. And the answer is always just trust and obey. If our hope is only in our temporal problems being taken away, we may never be happy. Our happiness needs to be in our great God. Easier preached than lived, isn't it? But I love the Bible. Our God's a big God. Asaph. His problems weren't fixed in 77. But he got his mind on the Lord and not on himself. So tough to do, isn't it? Let's pray. Father,